Skagway looks for White Pass to take action on the ore dock, and there may not be a winner in the race for House District 34 for weeks. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. It will be several days or perhaps weeks before a winner for House District 34 is known. Incumbent Republican Representative Bill Thomas and Democrat challenger Jonathan Christ Tompkins are vying for the seat. After Tuesday's election, Christ Tompkins is leading Thomas by 44 votes. But more than 1,400 absentee ballots have yet to be counted over the next week and a half, according to the State Division of Elections. And that number might go even higher. There are still 284 outstanding absentee ballots that could come back, according to State Elections Director Gail Fanumiai. Absentee ballots have until 10 days after the election to reach the Division of Elections to still count. Ballots mailed from outside the U.S. can be received up to 15 days after the election. So far, only 67 question ballots have been identified for House District 34, but question ballots are being sent by mail to Juneau from each of the precincts, so more may be included in that count, according to Fanumiai. 1,400 is not an unusual amount of absentee ballots for the district. House District 34 is configured differently this year because of redistricting. But in the last presidential race in 2008, when Thomas ran for re-election in House District 5, there were just over 1,900 absentee ballots received. The first count of absentee ballots for the Southeast region will take place November 13th, with a second count on the 16th. The final count for all ballots in all regions is November 21st. According to election returns, Christ Tompkins carried his hometown of Sitka as well as Angoon in Tuesday's election, but Thomas carried Haines and Cleckwan by wide margins, as well as most of the smaller communities. The Division of Elections did not have a breakdown of what communities requested or returned the most absentee ballots. Also today, Representative Thomas says he still has a seat on the House Finance Committee if he picks up enough votes to win the election. In an interview with us today, Thomas said he's caucusing with other House Republicans at the Alyeska Resort near Anchorage. He confirmed he lost the committee's co-chairmanship, a position he held for the past 2 years. But he said, quote, "They're saving me a seat on finance." Thomas served on the Budget Writing Committee since 2007. There's no word yet on House Democrats' organizational plans or where Christ Tompkins would fit in if he holds his lead. The municipality of Skagway has served notice to White Pass Yukon Railroad that it needs to fix the ore dock or risk possible legal action. A recent study found portions of the ore dock to be in critical need of repair due to corrosion and deterioration that has left lengths of the dock unsupported. But according to Skagway Mayor Stan Selmer, neither White Pass nor its parent company in Ontario have said what they will do to address the dock.
We're a little concerned, obviously, that you know, we've not heard anything from them, and we let them know about this imminent danger condition over a month ago.
The ore dock condition survey was commissioned by the municipality and was conducted by Moffitt and Nickel of Anchorage. In the report, released by the city this week, the engineering company said it found that the service pier has the most severe deterioration. It recommends a portion of it be roped off so that vehicle and pedestrian access is restricted from that section. The municipality decided in executive session on November 1st to rope off this section of the dock after not hearing from White Pass if they intended to do so or not, according to Selmer.
We just took a, I guess we'll call it a precautionary step. We're now sending a letter to White Pass outlining our concerns about the emergent condition that we had with this one issue and then the general other concerns of the dock.
Mayor Selmer said he heard from local White Pass representatives on Thursday that the company had engineers looking at the roped-off section of the dock. But the municipality is looking for communication and action, and that's what it asked for in a letter Wednesday to White Pass parent company ClubLink in Ontario. The letter is addressed to ClubLink owner K. Rai Sahi. ClubLink owns Pacific and Arctic Railway Navigation Company, which operates White Pass Yukon Railroad. The municipality writes in the letter that if the company doesn't take corrective action on the ore dock by December 7th, then it will look at legal options. Those options may include declaring the company is in breach of its lease. The letter continues to criticize the company for its lack of any response to the condition survey. It says that shortly after the survey was completed, the municipality notified PARN that a portion of the dock was dangerous. The letter states, "The local representatives of PARN were advised of a specific condition at the ore dock, as determined by Moffitt and Nickel on October 5, 2012, and were provided with a detailed drawing showing the dangerous and hazardous area. Your company did nothing." Mayor Selmer said the dock has continued to be used by ore ships, and the primary reason for roping off the critical section was to protect workers on the dock.
People that were tying it up, the local Teamsters Union longshore unit, they had a workaround plan in place to work around the section. We spoke with the operators on the mineral services side and, you know, advised them what we were doing down there, and we let everybody know that there was going to be an area of the dock that was not accessible.
The letter continues that the municipality considers the failure to fix the critical need areas as a material breach of the lease agreement. In the letter, the municipality asked for a plan of repairs for the rest of the ore dock no later than January 5th. Failure to provide a plan will also be seen as a breach of the lease, it says. The letter also criticizes White Pass President Eugene Hetzray for his response not only to the dock situation, but in regards to ongoing lease negotiations on the current lease and in the termination of the lease for 2023. The letter states, "We have reached the unfortunate conclusion that your local president, Eugene Hetzray, has repeatedly misled the municipality and, in our view, apparently withheld information from you." Hetzray did not return our emails or phone messages for comment. The letter notifies the company that the municipality will not communicate any further with Hetzray about the current lease or post-2023 possibilities. And the letter goes on to say that unless the municipality hears directly from K. Rai Sai that the dock will be repaired within 30 days and that he personally wants to negotiate with the city, then it plans on terminating the lease as of March 2023. The survey examined other parts of the dock. Walkways were deemed in serious condition and the dolphins and fenders in poor condition. Other areas, including the ship loader and conveyor transfer, were listed as in good or fair condition. The ore dock was built in 1968 and is a primary dock ore ships use when exporting Yukon minerals through the port. Cruise ships also use the dock in the summer. The dock structure is owned by White Pass, but it sits on land leased from the city. A portion of the dock was damaged this summer, likely from a thruster of a cruise ship. White Pass made a temporary fix to that portion of the dock, but Mayor Selmer said he has not heard what the company plans are to fix that section permanently. And now our weekly feature on Small Things Considered. Here's local author Heather Lundy.
On the 4th of July, when I heard fisherman Richard Boyce was missing off his gill netter, I texted my son, who was fishing in the same area, that I loved him. After fisherman Ted Lynch's memorial service last week, Ted drowned while shrimping, I called my son. He is down south snowboarding with his crew share, and told him not to become a career fisherman unless he really, really loves it. I could hear the smile in his voice and imagine him rolling his 23-year-old eyes at me as he said, "Geez, Mom, I'm fine. What a cowboy." Here's the thing that was as hard as anything about Ted's memorial service. Looking around the crowd at the wet faces of all the friends and neighbors who have lost someone they love, suddenly and accidentally, many of them at sea, which was really all of us. Since in a small town, we quickly become shirt-tail relatives, and if you live here long enough, real relatives. Ted was my daughter's father-in-law. And who, looking at all those slides of Ted, a fourth-generation Alaskan fisherman and his family so happy, and mostly on boats or on docks or on beaches. Heck, even when Ted was in Hawaii, he fished commercially for tuna with his Oahu-based brothers. Didn't see much to admire, even love, about this outdoor adventure of a fishing life. Richard Boyce chose it after MIT rather than work as a Boston engineer. Which is why, after both of them died, I found myself humming that country song, Night Rider's Lament, the one about the letter from home asking why the cowboy was still riding the range, and he replies that they can't understand because they've never seen the northern lights, never seen the hawk on the wing, and my own variation, never seen spring hit the Lynn Canal. and they've never heard the men of note sing the Navy hymn at a fisherman's memorial. When Richard died, the mother of his children told me that the hardest part was how much he loved their daughters. The hardest part of Ted's passing is how much he loved his children. When our daughter and his son were married, I half joked that I hoped they didn't have as many kids as we had, R5, Ted 6. But he smiled that terrific smile, looked at our combined family, quite a crowd, and said he hoped they had a dozen. The older I get, the less I know, but one thing I am sure of is that kind of love is our comfort and our solace, and it's why today I'm hanging out with my 2.5-year-old granddaughter. When she tells me, "I love you to the moon and back," I'll tell her I love her from the tops of the mountains to the bottom of the deep blue sea.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.
Because they ain't never seen the northern lights. They never seen a hawk on the wing. They never seen spring hit the great divide.